return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God.
Welcome to a service at Holy Life Tabernacle in Brookings, South Dakota. We are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Now let's go into the sanctuary, and here's today's message.
Our God is an awesome God.
Bless you.
Yeah, that's, whoa.
Amen.
Hello. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, hey, let's just open up in prayer. Lord God, we just thank you and praise you. And we just love you so much, Lord. You're just such a good God. You're for us, not against us. Never planned a bad day for us in all of our lives, Lord. Help us just to look to you. And we're so grateful for the ministering through your word, Lord God. So just bless it. Help it to go forth and do what you want it to do. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, praise God. So I want to just thank everybody, too, for just the staff, Pastor Dave, Jeannie, Rand, and Angeline. God bless you guys. You know, praise God for this church right here, folks. Just a watering hole you can come and fill up on the things of God. You want to fill up on the things of God, right? You want to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I keep on moving forward. I'll be turning around to look at me here pretty soon, but... we'll go right there. Praise you. I can. Yeah, that's right. Like old brother, Ernie? Earl? Walk with me.
Earl Rauncher.
There you go. Yeah, some good. See, there's a lot of good teachings been through here.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Man, a lot of people have come and gone. A lot of people in glory right now. We've learned and gleaned so much. That's what coming to church will do for you. Amen? Make you strong in the power of His might. Praise God. Nothing better than that. 1 John 5:4-5 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God?"
Amen.
So that's what you got to do. You got to believe first and foremost. If you don't do anything else in this world, believe that Jesus
Amen.
Is the Son of God.
That's right.
And then ask him to forgive your sins and come into your life and be your Lord.
Amen.
That's where victory is. That's what overcoming is all about.
Yeah.
Is believing that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
Remember how the ABC, Wide World of Sports, used to say, "The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat."
Yeah.
And you see this poor guy just ripping through all this signage and everything on the side. Yeah, that was. And he's memorialized forever because of that video.
That's right. That's right.
Thousands and thousands of times that thing played when I was a kid growing up.
That's right. Yeah.
I'll have to look him up sometime. But I bet he just didn't quit right away. I bet he tried to keep on a little bit. But praise God. So he was remembered for that. But, you know, there's not many things quite as exciting as winning. Everything we do in life, we want to be a winner. That should be your attitude, is try to be a winner.
Amen.
Doesn't mean that you're the best because you're above somebody.
Yeah.
But you're the best because you just want to do your best.
Yep.
You want to lay it all on the line and go for it. So the taste of victory in our lives is sweet. It is so fun to win. Nobody likes to lose. You got runners in a race, they don't like to come in second and third. I know everybody nowadays gets a trophy. There's no losers. Everybody gets a trophy. But there's some people out there that still want to win.
Amen.
They want to go for it. So there's nothing quite as sweet as winning. So winning is a desire that we really should all have. We should have it in common. It's to be a winner in life. Whether it be winning a physical race, a spelling bee, fixing an engine or a washing machine. How about this one? The toilet bowl.
There you go.
Here it comes. It's coming up. It's almost ready to crest. And you get the plunger out there and you're knocking that thing down there. And it doesn't overflow.
That's right.
That's a victory.
That's right.
You want to be a winner in that one. Nothing worse than not being a winner in that one. That's a terrible situation. Winning the guy or girl of your dreams, being the successful bidder on a dream job, winning is very fulfilling, folks. No one likes to lose. Victory is essential to our health and happiness. It really is. You got to picture yourself a winner in Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to picture yourself a winner in making it through this life, this journey called life.
Yep.
Picture yourself on the other end being a winner.
Yep.
And the only way you can do that is by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ.
Yep.
You just got to go for it that way.
Yep.
So defeat is destructive to our lives.
Yep.
If you look at defeat, if you accept defeat, it's destructive to your life. It pulls down everything about you.
That's right.
Pulls down your demeanor at work, the people that you're around, you become pessimistic, you're negative. It just takes the juice out of you. It takes the life right out of you. Nobody wants to be around somebody like that. So don't let defeat reign in your lives like that. And remaining in defeat can even destroy your faith.
Amen.
It can destroy your faith in God. You get so down and out, and pretty soon you look at all the junk going around you, and you allow that to crowd out the Spirit of God in your life. The victory that He has for you. We just read it. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer.
Yeah.
Another place He says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Yeah.
So you don't have to look at just being yourself. You got to put your trust in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Praise God. But we all at times face defeat in our lives, even like King David. He did as well.
Yeah.
He faced tough times in his life, battles, failures, disappointments, delays.
Mm-hmm.
He wept. He mourned. He faced some real tough times. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2 says, so David left Gath, and he took refuge in the cave of Adullam. And when his brothers and the rest of his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. And everyone who was in distress, and everyone who was in debt, everyone who was bitter in soul, gathered to him. And he became commander over them. And they were with him about 400 men. What a crew. Broke, busted, and disgusted, okay, I've always used to say. Broke, busted, and disgusted. It's like, man, couldn't somebody with a little more life come to me? Couldn't somebody with a little more help come to me? You guys are all down and outers. There's nothing going on. You have nothing to add to the situation. That's good. But he didn't look at it that way. So do you ever feel rejected or isolated or despised? Happens. Could you consider yourself a failure because of debt or a bad business deal?
Yep.
That's what the devil wants you to do. He wants to get you to look at your failures.
Yep.
Start looking inward.
Yeah.
That's his domain. That's what he likes to do.
Yeah.
Seem like your prayers are going nowhere. Nobody's listening.
Yeah.
You feel misunderstood, abandoned, undervalued, underestimated, unappreciated.
Yeah.
Dick, 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 dick. All devil talk right there.
Yeah, right.
He's whispering in your ears.
Sure.
If you're hearing that and then you start believing it, you're discontented with life. That's what that amounts to.
Yeah.
After he starts heaping all that stuff on, that's the end result.
Yeah.
You're discontented with life. So is there an empty place in your spirit or life that you cannot seem to fill? If you feel like this, there is hope for you because you realize that you need help.
Amen.
When you realize, man, I'm a mess.
Yeah.
I'm just a miserable mess.
Yeah.
I need something going on. There's something's got to change in me.
Yeah.
So you're exactly who God is looking for to develop a relationship with.
Amen.
And expand His kingdom.
Yep.
You realize that you need a greater help than you can provide for yourself.
Yeah.
A lot of times that's the way it is. We just go, 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 and we can fix anything, do anything. Guys are real good at that. Just try to keep everything in, and we can do this thing. But you come to the end of yourself. And you realize, I can't do this thing by myself.
Yep.
I need some help.
That's right.
You realize that not only are there physical shortcomings, but there's also spiritual deficiency in your life.
Yeah.
Those that think all is going well while not knowing Christ are really the ones that are in trouble.
Yes.
If you're self-sufficient, think you've just got it all together, you're really the ones that are in trouble. See, you can't develop a relationship with somebody that doesn't want to share a relationship. Relationships are takes two.
Yep.
One doesn't work. You got two of them together. If one goes off, that's not a relationship.
That's right.
It takes two of you, whether it be a spouse and a husband or a man and wife or a relationship with God.
Yep. Yeah.
Same difference. Takes two.
Yeah.
So we can't develop a relationship with somebody that doesn't want to have one. The Bible says in Revelation 3:17, this is what the Lord said, Because you say, I am rich, and you become wealthy and have need of nothing, you do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. If you think you're all these good things without me, you're really empty. You're naked. You're wretched. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich. That's the gold you want to seek after, is that heavenly gold.
Amen.
It's all right to do better for yourselves and try to do the best you can on this earth and everything, but you want to make sure you're putting most of your effort into storing up treasures in heaven.
Amen.
That's the good gold.
That's right.
That's what he says he wants you to seek after. And white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Aren't you glad for that?
Yep.
Don't got to see all the trash and junk in your life.
Amen.
Yeah, but I better not say no more on that. Praise God. Anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. You may think you see, but without Christ you don't see nothing. You're blind. You're just not even aware of what's really happening around you. I tell you, this whole world just is shaking right now, folks.
It is.
I tell you what, better get, Jesus said, when you see all these things begin to come to pass. And I know that's been read forever. Oh, where's the promise of his coming? They've been saying that forever. Yeah, but one day.
That's right.
I just read it at the last, just finished Revelations 22 today and read them there. And it says, surely these things are going to come to pass. You might not think it's going to, you might think, oh, forever, it's just been, it's been, no, nothing ever changes. Surely these things are all going to come to pass. You better be watching, you better be ready.
Amen.
Just as sure as we're here tonight.
Yep. That's right.
One of these days, you're going to see them.
Tomorrow's not promised.
That's right.
Yeah.
Boast not of tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know not what the day brings.
Yeah.
Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof for the day. So you know that you're a miserable mess without Christ, but the key is that you realize that. That's the good part. You may have been unprofitable in the past, but in Christ you're being made into someone great. If you ask Him into your life, you're being made into someone great. You can't measure it out by little bits, but I tell you what, you're probably a lot better and further along than you were a year ago. You know, God's just cleaning you up as you go. Thank God for that. King David loved God as a young lad. He was out there just content to be a little shepherd boy, taking care of sheep, about the lowliest job you could have back then. But he didn't whine and complain about it. He just took the time to be out there, just a big long sabbatical was what it was for him, just getting alone with the Lord and writing songs and practicing singing and slinging with a whip, with a thing that is. Slingshot. Yeah. You gotta know what I'm talking about there. Amen. So he practiced worshiping and loving the Lord.
Amen.
At a young age. Isn't that good?
Amen.
He was appointed anointed king of Israel by God, but initially rejected by man.
That's right.
God said, he's the one I got my eye on. Everybody else around him thought, that's not the one I got my eye on.
Right.
He was a man after God's heart.
Yeah.
He was anointed king and could have taken the throne a number of times early when Saul was delivered into his hand. He even had cut off a piece of his robe and say, hey, here you go. I could have had your head last night, but I spared you. Oh, David, I'm sorry. Go away. Oh, get mad again. I'll let the devil talk to you and get all flustered up and foaming at the mouth and got to go get him again. David could have taken him, but he let God work things out. He just let God work things out. That's the peace of God in your life. Maybe things aren't going as fast as you think they should be or the way you think they should go.
Right.
But you just got to let God work things out in your life.
That's right.
Takes all the finger chewing out of it that way.
Yeah, that's right.
If you just give it into His hands and just try to let Him take care of the situation,
yes,
He'll bring it to pass. And then it's done the right way too.
Yep, that's right.
So thank the Lord for that. That's good. So He did things right only to suffer and pass through some very hard times. The valley of death, you could say, that David went through. He was hunted by King Saul, the very person that he helped numerous times. Isn't that something? But now David, the people's hero who slew a giant, was abandoned by the very people he was to represent. Abandoned by men, but not by God. So our God has not given up on us, the ones who were created in His image. He's not given up on you. You may think He has at times. It may feel like it. Like I said, it may feel like your prayers aren't clear in the ceiling. But He hasn't given up on you.
Amen.
I tell you what, shoot a text to somebody. It's like God just laid somebody on my heart the other night, man, and I tell you what, I didn't even think about it before. It's just so slow. All this technology and everything right there, and gosh, I just sent a text to this young fella, and boy, he just, we're just bing, 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 back and forth now.
Yeah.
Just wants, just, is yeah. so encouraged. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Just a thing like that, you can make such a... See, God's not done with you. You're not worthless. You're not useless.
Yep.
You just got to just do a little something once in a while. I'll tell you what, it'll get things stirred up in you.
Amen. That's right.
Encourage somebody in the Lord.
Yeah.
This world's a lot bigger than just you.
That's right.
And just your desires.
Yep.
Amen. So God hasn't given up on you. For his own safety, David escaped from Saul and hid in the cave, Adullam, which means a refuge. The cave became a place of safety. Also gathered to him were the 400 misfits. The cave became a type of church where they could be ministered to. They gathered there to find refuge, acceptance, instruction, help, encouragement, direction for life. Isn't that what we do here? Wherever the name of the Lord is proclaimed. It's a place of refuge, encouragement, direction.
Amen.
It should be, so you can be successful in life, so you can be a winner in life.
That's right.
You're not here just blowing time.
That's right.
If you are, then just go home and watch a game or something. It's a good football day today. There's all kinds of games going on. But you're here.
I'm glad they're here.
Praise amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Good choice.
Good choice. Helps you to be a winner. That's right.
Yeah, it does.
So we originally came to church kind of like a bunch of misfits. Some of us are still working on it. Amen.
Yeah,
sure. Every day, I know.
Yeah.
We originally came to church as a bunch of misfits to find refuge, acceptance, instruction, help, encouragement, and direction for our lives.
Amen.
You see, if you don't realize that you're in need, you won't ever seek any help.
Yeah.
The only time you really look for some good help is when you're in need. And if you got a robber breaking into your house, if you don't got a .45 in your bedstand beside you, you're calling the cops.
Yeah.
Don't go to Herb's house.
Yeah.
Amen. But you seek out help when you need it.
Yeah.
If you're never in trouble, if you never realize you're in trouble, you're never going to seek any help.
Yeah.
People in debt, distressed, dissatisfied, discouraged, discontented, they all came to meet with the person in the midst of the cave,
yeah.
or the church, so to speak.
Yeah.
However, it's not the place that makes the difference, but it's the person in the place that makes the difference.
Amen.
It's not the four walls, it's not the building or a cave that it's special. It's just the old cold, damp, dark cave.
Yeah.
Nothing uplifting about a cave in itself.
That's right.
I've got one cave experience. I'll tell you a little bit about it. Yeah, we got time, I guess. My brother Cliff lives on Rapid. And anyway, I've never been in a cave, so I thought, I'm going to go out there, Lanita and Jared and Tasha and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go in a cave, check this thing out.
Yeah.
So we were going to go into a cave and, you know, I don't know. Well, is it Jewel or whatever, the big one out there? I was thinking. I didn't even know her. I was just going to go to a cave. Anyway, Cliff said, hey, I got a friend that owns a cave.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, it was Crystal Cave, Crystal Cave. And it's not... The big, maybe there's two Crystal Caves or not, but this one is the Crystal Cave. It was back in the 50s.
Yeah.
It was a tourist attraction.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, the Cliff works with this gal, and he says, yeah, she just bought this cave. I'll call her up. We'll be able to get you to go out there. So here goes myself, Lanita, Jared, Tasha, and then Cliff's wife, Paula. So we all got little flashlights and everything. You know, we're going to check this cave out. And I'm like, yeah, okay, this is all right. So anyway, we got those instructions, directions to go out there, and we drive outside of Rapid, and then we find this, there's in the trees, there's the Crystal Cave right there. Just an old sign that's all faded out, covered up by trees and everything. And anyway, we go snaking down this old logging road, or whatever it was, to get back there. And so we come up to this house right over here, and we kind of pull up in there just gingerly, like wondering or whatever, and man, pretty soon here comes this guy. So I'm walking through the windows, and he's walking like this. And he comes out, and he's just cursing. Blankety blank, what? Don't imagine he had too many people driving up and down that road. Just cursing, and he gets outside, and this house looks like it's kind of being built, but it looks like it's been being built for about 20 years type thing, you know. And it's kind of fading out there. You should have had siding. It's like, you should have had siding on that about 10 years ago, I think. Anyway, so he comes down, he rolls down the steps, falls down the steps, and he's cursing. Roar, just cursing. It's like, man, what is going on here? And what did, and Paula says, well, my husband works with your wife, so-and-so, and she said we could come out here and look at your cave. You can't go in that cave, the blankety-blank. There's miles of caverns in there. It hasn't ever been explored, and you'll get lost. And boy, he's just going on and on. And so Paul is talking to him. I'm like, man, this is not good. I do not feel bad. I really don't need to go see a cave that bad.
It's like the
Gathering. What's that? Yeah, that's right. Just nuts. But anyway, evidently, finally, he calms down far enough or whatever, and he's talking to Paula there, and he's, whoa, I got 2 grandkids. They'll show you where it's at. Okay, where's the grandkids at? They're about a quarter mile down that road sitting in a Bronco. What? Just sitting in the Bronco. Quarter mile down this old windy road. So we start going down that way to get these kids. Pretty soon there's 2 children standing on this dirt road. It's like Children of the Corn or something. It was scary. It's like, you want to go to the cave? We'll take you. I'm thinking, boy, I don't know. So anyway, we walk into this place. We go back. We pick the kids up and park the vehicle. And we go back to where it's at. And we walk in this dilapidated building that used to be the tourist center.
Wow.
I mean, the boards are creaking and everything. And there's human skulls on the wall. Yeah, it was weird. Used to be a real hippie joint, I guess, where they used to come, and actually still do to this day. They'll come and just play and get high or whatever they do. But anyway, so he says, well, Paula got the instructions. There's a disconnect right here. You got to turn it up to turn the lights on. So here we are. We go up and we turn the lights on, look down the cave, and it's like all these steps going down in there. And it's like, okay. So here them 2 kids are like, Come with us. They're just rattling, just whipping right down that. Well, this is a true story. Just whip right down them old stairs, you know, there at the bottom. So here's Paul and I and Jared and Tasha. Lenita wouldn't go down there. She wouldn't have enough to. So I'm staying up here. So she stays up top up there. And so we get way down to the bottom like that. She goes, Frank, I smell smoke. I smell something burning. I'm like, we just got to the cave. No, I think you better come up here and check it. It's pretty smelly. So I come up top and I know electrical smell. Something's smoking. And it's smoking. There's like, are you kidding me? You're gonna torch this whole place above us. Lenita's gonna be out in that road someplace out there, and we're all gonna be stuck down in this cave till this major forest fire gets done burning above us. So anyway, I come back up, I smell the smoke, and I said, everybody out of the cave, let's go. So they all come back up out of the cave.
Which switch set you through up?
Well, the switch powered the refrigerator that was catching on fire.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, we discovered what it was, but Jared, he really wanted to go to the cave, so him and I went down there with a flashlight, had little flashlights on. And we were on the way down there, and there's a black widow right on the side of the cave going down in there. But I tell you what, we got down to the bottom of that cave, and we're just, this thing is massive. It's like, you bought this cave? Are you kidding me? You know, stalagmites or whatever they are coming down from the ceiling, and all these ponds of water, little pools of water and shelves and everything. And so Jared and I were kind of poking around here, and we go around one bend, and we go around another bend, and we go around another bend. I said, Jared, I think that's far enough. If we go around too many bends, pretty soon I ain't going to remember how many bends we turned at. And that's the last place I'm going to get stuck down here.
Right.
The Children of the Corn could have come and saved me or something, I suppose, but... That's my experience with a cave.
Yeah.
There's nothing good. You can get out of a tornado or something in a cave, but there's nothing inviting about a cave.
Right.
Nothing at all.
Right.
All that to say, just weird stories. My brother gets into stuff like that all the time, doesn't he, Irv? He's a great guy, but I tell you what, he really gets into some weird stuff. Nothing comfortable about a cave. That's the last place David wanted to be, was in a cave. But even in a cave... They came together. They used it again just to learn and to encourage one another.
Rejoice in
the cave. That's right. And the last place you'd want to rejoice, at least myself anyway. So who was in the cave they were coming to see? It's not the place that transformed, but the person in the place that makes it special. You see, David was a type of Christ. He offered safety and direction to those who realized that they were in need. And just as they came to David in a cave for physical salvation and deliverance back then, even so we come to Christ or this church or any place that His name's lifted up for eternal salvation and deliverance. Thank God. Aren't you thankful you're not in a cave?
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Praise God for that. Therefore, we don't come to a place but to a living God who presence dwells in us wherever we are for believers. The church building is a place to gather, to encourage, and to be accountable to each other. It's a place He has appointed to meet with other believers that believe in Him. Just like you guys tonight. Just come to be encouraged. Praise God. In David's distress, he wrote some of the Psalms while spending time in the cave. Sometime it's in your trouble and time of trouble and despair that you actually grow closer to God. So if you're going through some tough times, maybe just start thinking about the Lord more. Just utilize that time to see what He has to say to you. Amen. He might give you a psalm or a song. Thank you, Lord. Throughout the ages, the Psalms have strengthened the hearts of countless children of God. Something good come out of something bad or hard. Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We just got to allow God to put things together in His time, right? Don't always think you got to do it. The kind of people that came to David were rejects, misfits, the downtrodden of the world, the same people that the world would write off, call you a failure, you're not going to make it, laugh at you. People who need a change in life circumstances, unsatisfied with the way things were. They came from the various corners of Israel and chose to be identified with David. They needed someone who could identify with them in their sufferings. A lot of times, now that's what it means by taking all things that are that the devil throws at you. He's the one that throws the bad things at you. Steal, kill, and destroy. He's the one that throws the bad things at you. But God in His sovereignty can turn those things around for good. And if you don't get mad at God through your situation, your circumstances you're going through, you're going to come out on the other side a better person. And you're going to have a story to tell that you can help somebody else through that's going through a tough time. So you got to look at everything as just a stepping stone to get closer to the things of God. You know what I mean? Rather than blaming Him for it, just thank Him that you're going to get through it. Amen. Thank Him that you're going to see the way through it there. So what can the future hold for such misfits and outcasts and outlaws, as the world would call them? After being with David, they became men described as disciplined, reasonable, teachable, good, respectable, virtuous, peaceable, honest, protective, well-behaved. Look at the fruit of the Spirit reflected in these guys' lives. Just after spending time with David in the cave. Spending time with the presence of God in the cave. So all that the good fruit of God displaced the sad nature that they possessed in the past, what they used to be, and replaced it with all things that are good. The old man gave way to the new creation, new creature created in righteousness. The principles of their lives moved from the lower nature to a higher spiritual level. Again, they weren't just looking at themselves. They began to look up at the things of God. The Spirit of God worked and transformed them from disillusionment and defeat to good-natured, bold, godly men. Amen. The devil will tell you that you're worthless, that you've blown it too bad too many times to be used of God. But never believe it. It's not true. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the enemy. Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother if he sins against me? 7 times in a day? Jesus said, Peter, no. How about 7 times 7? 490 times, or in other words, infinite. Whatever it takes. Do you think God would tell Peter to do something that God Himself is not willing to do? Jesus will forgive you for whatever you've done in the past, as long as you realize that you're miserable, blind, naked, wretched, and you need help. You can't do it on your own. He'll forgive you for whatever you've done. No matter how many times. Isn't that good? That's good stuff. Good tree producing good fruit. Good beliefs definitely impact character. As you bring God's presence, His ways into your life, it will impact your character. People at work will notice you. Notice there's something different about you. So what has caused the change? It was David and his belief in God that caused their behavior and character and outlook on life to change from what it was into something good. It's the word of God they heard out of the mouth of David. That's why it's important to be around people that are speaking good things.
Amen.
Go to a church that's telling you good things. Because you'll be encouraged and it'll change your demeanor. It'll change your character. It's the transforming of the power of the word of God that does not return void. If you're putting yourself under the teaching of the Lord, it will not return void. It'll deliver you in tough times. So what happened to these men of the Bible that could describe them in such glowing terms as I just read in 2 Samuel 23? They became mighty men of battle, fearless warriors that brought down giants and broke through the enemy's lines. Verse 8 of chapter 23 says, "These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachamite, who sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adonai, Adino, I guess. He lifted up his spear against 800 men who he slew at one time." That's a pretty impressive individual.
That's right, yeah.
From a down and outer misfit, nobody, worthless, lousy loser in the cave, to somebody that's a triumphant warrior, can take on 800 guys. I consider myself pretty tough when I was growing up and stuff like that, but there's no way I'd take on 800 guys. I'm going to get beat real bad. 800 guys. That's impressive. That's what hearing the word of God will do to you. Not that you go out and kill 800 people that don't agree with you, but if you can certainly wrestle against the forces of spiritual wickedness in high places a lot better.
Amen.
That's good stuff. They could shoot with amazing accuracy. They knew how to respect authority, keep the ranks. They had each other's back. They had their six, as you would say in the military. I got your back. I'm watching out for you. It's always good to have somebody watching out for you.
Amen.
And as Christian brothers and sisters, we're exactly that. We're watching out for each other. And Jesus is watching out for you.
Yeah.
That's the good one. So they lived according to the laws of the kingdom of God. These men went on to do good things. It's not God's will for your life for you to walk around and live in defeat.
Amen.
That's never God's will for your life.
Amen.
You are more than conquerors. You're above and not beneath, the head and not the tail, is what the Bible says. So don't act like the tail. Don't act like you're beneath. Don't act like you're defeated. Act like you're the warrior, the conqueror that God made you to be. It's His will for you to rise up in spite of Satan's attacks on our lives and live in victory. To walk in victory, you must believe the Word of God and what it says.
Amen.
Gloom breeds failure. Don't hang around somebody that's just gloom all the time. And if you do, try to bring them up a little bit. Get them up. Let's get happy. Let's put on a smile.
Amen.
It's impossible to live in victory without a victorious outlook of life. You gotta believe what the Word says. Like Uncle Hank always used to say, just act like the Bible's true.
That's right.
Even if you don't know all of it yet, or even if you don't quite understand it or believe it yet, just act like it's true. That's a good first step right there. Act like it's true. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thanks be to God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
Not just anybody. It's Him giving the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who's He give it to? Us. It's victory, not defeat. 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be to God which always causes us to triumph in Christ." Always, not once in a while, or if we get lucky, part of the time, whatever. Always causes us to triumph. So it's not your personal strength, but Christ in you is your strength and your substance. As the old saying goes, you are what you eat. The same is true for our lives spiritually. You are what you put in it. You put nothing in there, you got nothing to pull out from. Nothing to pull out of. If you're defeated in your thought life with negative thoughts of failure, then it's going to be very hard for you to live a victorious life. You got to get your thinking up. You got to look at the prize, the goal up there. Set your sights higher. But if you put your mind in the victory and hope of Jesus Christ, you will always win. I promise you, you will always win. Romans 15:13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." He's the God of all hope, folks. If you're down and out and things just don't look good, put your faith and trust in the God of all hope.
Amen.
That's where your answer is. Not looking at something else. I tell you one thing in this country that we have is we have so much access to everything that we need that we really don't need God a lot of the times. If we're sick, we got a doctor. If we're a grocery store, let's go to Walmart. They got about 3,000 kinds of cookies on one aisle. And that's just the cookies. We won't even get into the cereal aisle. Yeah, it's just a world of everything you need. And that's the abundance of God. Don't get me wrong. That's the way heaven will be. Heaven's going to be, He's an abundant God. More than enough of anything you'll ever need.
That's right.
But it's so easy to get our eyes on that and not on Him. You know, I mean, so we really don't need God a lot of times. But I tell you what, one day there's going to come a day when the dollar dies.
That's right.
It's going down. You know, and wait till them old shelves are empty. And there's nobody in the hospital. Or it's all full. And what are you going to do? Man, you got to start drawing out from what's on the inside. So you better be putting something in that bank now. It's hard you can do it, but it's hard just to expect to do well when there's nothing in there to draw from. So make sure in the time of peace that you're storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven, in the things of God. So we have hope. Would you go to a doctor that has no hope? Would that be kind of dumb? A lawyer without any hope? This is what happened. What do you think? You can help me? I don't think so. You going to give that guy $175 an hour? No hope. I ain't going to go to somebody like that. How about a minister with no hope? I got one guy that I was been witnessing to, and this guy's just really coming along, just growing in the Lord, just loves God. Anyway, he always went to, and still evidently sometime goes to a church here in town. And he said he went up and he talked to the minister. And the minister, he's excited. Not the minister, this young fellow's excited. Loves the Lord, I just love the Lord. He's forgiven me of my sins. And he goes and tells his minister that, and his minister, God, wrote a couple psalms, and he says, that's as far as it goes. There's no relationship after that. There's nothing you can do. Your prayers really don't mean anything. There's nothing you can do to further your relationship. Guy right here in town.
That's trash.
Yeah, but see, that's the teaching. It's relationship.
That's right.
If you don't have a relationship, if God's not any bigger than just some old book laying in the corner over there, don't expect a whole lot. You ain't going to draw out of nothing out of there. It's a relationship. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You're my very present help in time of trouble. You're my high tower. You're the one with safety that I run into. You're my deliverer, my fortress. You're my Prince of Peace. You're the Lion, the Tribe of Judah.
Amen.
You can just start rattling off names. That's what He is. He's not a God that's barely getting by that doesn't care about you. Man, you're created in His image. He loves you.
Right.
He loves you.
Yep, that's right.
Praise God. Psalm 71:14 says, but I will hope continually and yet praise Thee more and more. We serve a God of hope, not a God of defeat. A God of hope, not a God of pessimism. A God of hope and truth, not a God of illusion and delusion. He's the real deal. He's the real deal, folks. And one day you're going to see it. One day you're going to see it. In Christ we have a hope and blessed assurance. Psalms 98:1 says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained Him the victory. You can choose to live in doom and gloom if you want. That's not a good place to be. That's like that old dark, damp, stinky cave I was in. That's a doom and gloom place if I've ever seen one. Black. If you get the lights working, I might go check it out. It wasn't that I was afraid. It's just like, man, I wouldn't want to live there.
You wouldn't want to live there.
No. Black widow crawling on the wall. And holy smoke, the children of the corn. I've never even watched that show, but I've never seen the previews. So it's enough to freak me out right there. two kids standing right there. It was weird. Really weird. You can choose to live in doom and gloom, or you can choose to live your life surrounded by and bathed in the hope of God.
Amen.
King David didn't allow himself to focus on the problems. He's not remembered for being a down and outer. He wouldn't make a very good blues singer. I'll try this one. Hank Williams. I don't know if you guys remember old Hank Williams Sr. My dad used to listen to him all the time. Hank Williams Sr. Probably not the greatest influence, but he died a young man drunk in the back of a convertible or a taxi or something, if I remember right. But he had a lot of pain in his life and everything. But because he didn't probably know the hope God.
Right.
He used to sing a song that says, "Hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to fly." I can hear it. I got to look this way. "For he's lost his will to live. I'm so lonesome I could cry."
Wow.
That was his life.
Yeah, that was his life.
That's just all his songs were like that.
Sad.
Just sad songs.
Yeah, sad.
Have you ever felt like singing that song? Yeah. It's kind of good, too. I like singing the song, but have you ever felt like you were in that song?
I don't want to do that.
Have you felt like you were in that song? I think we all have at some point, and including David. He felt like he was in that song at different times. Maybe you know, a little different wordage there or whatever, but David learned that when his spirit was low, praise was the key to bringing him out of it.
Amen.
He may have felt like that at times and felt like singing that song.
Yeah.
And I think we can see that in some of the Psalms where he was at that point, like, "Lord, what in the world is going on?" But he learned to live in praise. Why? Because he looked back to his growing up years and his experience with God when he was all alone out there taking care of some old woolly sheep. He learned to live in praise. In fact, this one right here, Psalm 43:5. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me?" That's what you got to ask yourself if you're in that type of feeling, in that type of spirit. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? You got great and precious promises. God has only good things aimed at you. Never planned a bad day for you in your entire life. Only good aimed at you. No reason for us to be cast down. Doesn't mean we can't mourn with those who mourn and weep with those who weep. Obviously we do that. But I tell you what, inside of each and every one of us, if we know Jesus is our Lord and Savior, there's hope inside there. There's something that invigorates you. Makes you more than an overcomer. Makes you a winner in life. "Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." Learning to live in praise is essential to living a victorious victorious life.
Amen.
Praise builds our courage. If you're down and out, just sing a song. I tell you what.
Amen.
Praising God in the midst of our trials is like saying, "God, you're my source and my strength. Though storms rise and winds howl, I'm going to trust in you. No matter what comes against me, I'm going to trust in you." How about this one? "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty. He will reign, he will rejoice over thee with joy, much joy. He will joy over thee with singing." No?
"He will rest in his love."
Oh, hey, I'll just read the verse. Let's go to that verse. It just happens to be in the Bible. Zephaniah 3:17.
Amen.
I don't know if that's on there or not. Let's just sing it together.
Amen.
"The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty, is mighty. He will rejoice over thee with joy, much joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He's mighty." Isn't that good stuff?
Yeah.
Doesn't that bring you up a little better than,
amen,
Hear the lonesome whippoorwill.
Best hymnal you could have.
That's right. See the songs that come out of that? That's experiences people had. That's real life stuff. So if you're down and out and you're thinking everything's against you and God doesn't hear you, you just start singing. Get a Bible out and start singing some songs. Get the hymnal out. That's a lot of word in them old hymnals, in them songs.
Amen.
So attacks are hard and they hurt. They bring pain and suffering into your life. But Jesus is our champion, our refuge, our strong tower, our shelter in time of storm. He's the God of hope, folks. Focus on the promise, not the problem. To walk in victory, you must never accept defeat.
Amen.
You got to get back up and keep going. Yes. Just because you might have lost that race, we'll start practicing for the next one then.
Yep.
You got to get up and keep on going on. Keep pressing on. The one thing about it, if you're pressing on, like you've illustrated before, you're pressing on. At least if you fall down, you're going to fall forward. You're going to gain a couple yards.
That's right.
Right? You're falling forward. You're not going back. It's like you showed the other day, your stance on it. You got to get ready.
Right.
If you're coming against you, I'm situating myself so I can press into it.
Right.
I can either go through you, but at least I'm going to fall forward.
Amen.
I'm not just going to stand back like this and let you push me over.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's what building yourself up in your most holy faith is.
Amen.
Getting into the things of God, getting your strength going,
yep.
Getting your body ready. So don't give up, folks.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah.
God loves you.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, He does.
He's a good God. You're going to make it.
Yep.
Thank God. When that last trump goes or whatever, amen.
Amen. That's right.
We're going to heaven. Praise
amen.
God. God's good.
Hallelujah.
God's a good God. Well, let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word. It's so good.
Amen.
Just your encouragement and everything that you give us, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that you would be with every person in here. If they don't know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, that they would just ask you to forgive their sins, Lord, and come into their lives and make them the person that they want you to be. Lord, help them to look at their own lives, their own selves as victorious conquerors in you. Lord, that they can face anything this old world and the devil throw at them. And they can be overcomers, Lord. Help them to have pep in their step, a smile on their face, joy in their heart, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we look forward to a great week. We look forward to a great life.
Yes.
And just await the different things that you're going to do in each and every one of us, Lord. We are so thankful for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's give the Lord a hand. He's a good God. Thank you, Lord. Want to thank you guys for coming out tonight. And if you want prayer or something, come on forward. But just know this, God loves you.
Amen.
He loves you. He's crazy about you.
Amen.
Our God is an awesome God. He raised Him from heaven above.
Thank you for listening to this inspirational message. We trust that you were encouraged in your faith. For additional information or resources, please contact the church at 605-692-4616. You can email us at holylife@brookings.net or visit our website at holylifetabernacle.com. If you're in the Brookings area, please stop by to visit a service. We are located at 241 Mustang Pass, just off Main Avenue South. Our service times are Sundays at 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m., also Wednesday nights at 7. God bless you.